There is nothing quite like pregnancy in our lives. It is the most normal of things in that it has been happening ever since the beginning, over and over again, all the way back to Adam and Eve. God created a process that will continue the human race with essentially no help from the human race past one physical act, right? It is not and never has been a sickness in and of itself. And yet, many, many moms and dads choose to see a physician to care for them during this time, not realizing what that will bring with it. So today, we are going to talk about the unintentional consequences of seeing someone who is trained to deal with sickness during a time of life that is normal and is not at all a sickness. And believe it or not, even Jesus himself gives us some insight into this situation. So let's go ahead and dive on in. Are you a Christian woman yearning for a beautiful, joyful pregnancy and birth with a focus on God, not medical tests? Are you worried the birth you want isn't possible and you're tired of being treated like an accident waiting to happen? Hey mama, I'm Lori, host of Your Birth, God's Way. I'm a certified nurse midwife now, but I wasn't always. After working for nearly 20 years in the broken maternity system, I too was in your shoes wondering how I could have the birth I wanted and that I felt God meant for me to have. I found a secret that has actually been known since the beginning of time. God's way is the best way. Spoiler alert, God made us and our babies, and he knows us best. He designed us perfectly for pregnancy, birth, and nourishing our babies after birth, if we work with his design and not against it. In this podcast, you'll learn how to be healthy and have joy during this time of life that will be over before you know it. So if you're ready to reclaim your birth and your babies for his glory, go turn on a few episodes of Bluey for that little one on your hip so you can put the focus back on you for a few minutes with me. It is review time, my favorite time, and today I have a review from a sweet, sweet lady named Chi-Chi. I actually had the pleasure of meeting her about a year ago, and she took the time to leave me a review, so I want to read it to you. It says, "Your Guide to Childbirth, God's Way. I wish this podcast existed when I was having children. Episode 68 resonated with me so much. I remember battling postpartum depression after a failed induction that led to a C-section. It robbed me of the joy of being a first-time mom. Lori's podcast is a beacon of hope for Christian moms struggling with postpartum anxiety and depression. She offers practical strategies to reclaim the joy of motherhood. With warmth and compassion, she shares actionable tips rooted in faith, guiding listeners toward healing and peace. Lori's empowering message reminds moms that they are not alone in their journey and that God's love is a source of strength during challenging times." Thank you so much, Chi-Chi, for that review. I love hearing from you, and I love knowing that I'm helping postpartum moms as well. While, you know, the podcast is called Your Birth, God's Way, it's all about that whole time in our life, from birth to postpartum, even in preconception times, all these times around that period of our life where we are making babies and then also raising babies. And so I'm so excited to hear that episode resonated with you, and I hope it resonated with a lot of you guys. And if you haven't taken the time to leave me a review, please hit pause real quick and go leave me a review. It might take you like 30 seconds, and it helps me so much to reach other mamas just like you. And it puts gas in my tank. It's fuel in my tank. It helps me to know that I'm helping mamas like you and to know that people's lives are changing, because God is using me to help you understand that you're made for this. I think our world has really done a good job of making us think that we're not made for this and that pregnancy is one big old accident waiting to happen. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today, about how pregnancy is treated in our country and how when we fall into that system, that's kind of the default system, we just kind of go to it because that's kind of what we think we're supposed to do. What that can mean for a process that's 100% natural and normal that God made for us to go through. God made us to go through it. He designed our bodies specifically for this. And yet oftentimes we are treated as if we are broken when we kind of opt for this default system. Nearly 90% of women give birth in hospitals with obstetricians. 90%, 9 in 10. And yet the opposite of that is what's actually needed, because the opposite of that is what actually, with the pregnancies that actually might need extra medical help. Only about 10% of pregnancies actually need any of the interventions that are done in hospitals every day, and yet 90% of moms are going there. Obstetricians are also known as OBs. OBs are medical doctors who complete medical school, and then they specialize in the what they see as the problems of pregnancy, and then they train to also become surgeons. In addition, nearly all OBs are also gynecologists, which means that they take care of other problems related to the reproductive tract of a female. OBs have lots and lots of skills that are very useful, but one of the problems that comes in seeing an obstetrician for a pregnancy is that pregnancy is not inherently a problem. You know, what are those two descriptions of what OBs do and what gynecologists do, or OBGYNs, obstetrician, gynecologists together? What do those two descriptions have in common? They deal with problems. Problems. But pregnancy is not a problem. So what happens when you bring a medical doctor in to care for a time in your life where there's no sickness? Maybe, you know, you find out you're pregnant and you're like, I think I'll just go see the OB I've been seeing my whole life for my pap smears. Or I'm going to go see the person who, you know, filled this prescription or that prescription for me. And that's the depth of the thought, without any further research into what you actually need in pregnancy. What happens then? Well, let's dig into that a little bit. Our medicalized maternity care system in this country is that way. It is medicalized because it is controlled by doctors and insurance companies. Those two forces are really what forms the policies and the way that things work. Doctors exist to identify what is wrong and then try to fix it. So when you have a sickness, when you have an illness, when you have an injury, doctors' jobs is to figure out what's wrong and then try to figure out a way to make it better. Insurance companies exist to protect that bottom line. Yeah, they exist to help you pay for healthcare in theory, but their main objective is to pay out the least amount possible for the service that is provided. Okay, so their whole job is to watch that bottom line. So is it any wonder that the hospital maternity wards are the way they are with those two things in mind, knowing what a doctor's purpose is and what an insurance company's purpose is? Every day in America, countless women walk into these wards thinking that they're normal moms with nothing wrong, and they're going to have a normal birth and everything's just going to go smoothly, not realizing the machine that awaits them. And I'm not talking about machines that they're going to be connected to, although that is a part of it. I'm talking about this machine of a system that is waiting to usher them in as the next one to work through the process. When you are a person whose entire training is based on identifying and fixing problems, that's what you do. That's your whole thing. It's your whole purpose. You have a tool belt full of tools, and they're very expensive tools because medical school is very, very expensive. And you truly believe that those tools that you have in your tool belt work well, so you look for ways to use them. Have you ever bought an appliance and you just couldn't wait to find a way to use it? Or maybe your husband got some new power tool and he walks around the house or around the backyard or whatever looking for a way to use it, something that would need it, something he could use it for. You know, I borrowed a floor cleaner from my mother-in-law. It's one I was kind of interested in. I'd seen it at her house and I thought I'd bring it home and give it a try before I made a purchase. And today, y'all, I cleaned all the floors in our entire upstairs today just because I had it. And then Abby, my youngest, spilled some water on the floor. And I almost got it out to clean up just the water, even though I would have had to walk past the stack of towels that we usually use to clean up water spills to get to that floor cleaner. Because I was so excited that I had this neat tool that worked so well on my floors. I'm like, hey, sure, let's use it again, right? See, I've got a neat tool that's powerful and works well, and I want to use it. Another analogy is when you're a hammer, everything starts to look like a nail. But I told you back in the introduction, even Jesus had something to say about this thought, because when we start to use tools and knowledge and skills in ways that they're not needed, you can cause problems. Jesus said in Matthew 9, verse 12, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." Those who are sick need a physician, not those who are well. Now, he wasn't talking about medical things there. He was talking to the Pharisees. There's a lot of other stuff going on. I'm not saying that that's what Jesus was talking about there. But Jesus, we all know, used parables and he used illustrations to help people understand what his message was. And this is an illustration to help you understand the message of this podcast today, in that you don't need a doctor when you're not sick. And when you are pregnant, that is not a sickness. It is a normal period of life when your body is doing something that God made it to do in a normal way. And you don't need a doctor when you're not sick. When you are seen by someone who is trained to fix problems, here are a few of the things that can happen. And by the way, all of these things also can apply to midwives who work in hospital systems, or maybe even outside of hospital systems, but usually inside of hospitals, because they have also been indoctrinated into this way of thinking just by virtue of where they work. And I've seen it for myself. There are great midwives in hospitals, and there are a lot of midwives who are really more appropriately called medwives, because they basically work just like physicians. They do the same thing that physicians do. So just keep that in mind, that just because the person you're seeing has a CNM after their name, and I have a CNM after my name, so I'm not knocking all of them, but just understand that the letters are not what you need to go by. It's how they practice. That's how you decide which side they err on. Do they trust birth? Do they believe in birth? Or do they think birth is a problem? All right, so what are some of the things that can happen when you go to see someone who is trained to fix problems when you don't have a problem? Okay, these are some of the things that can happen. First, doctors. Understand that doctors fear birth in general. Okay, and so when they fear birth in general, they fear your birth. They are waiting for something to go wrong with your birth. Their actions show that they don't think that labor can actually happen without their help, that birth is not going to happen without their help. They think that without them managing this process, something's going to go wrong. And they are basically putting themselves in the place of God. So that's the first thing, not so much that can go wrong, but can lead to the things going wrong. They really, truly fear birth. We're going to talk a little bit in a minute about why they fear birth. Have you been looking for a course online to help you prepare for your natural birth, but you're sick of having to weed through the content to take out all that new agey stuff or the flat out ungodly advice? Well, I've got some great news for you. There is now a course that will teach you everything you need to know to be fully prepared for birth, postpartum, and breastfeeding from a Christian perspective on demand, taught by a midwife with over 20 years of experience in the maternity world. And that midwife is me. After many years of being indoctrinated into that godless, medicalized maternity world, I woke up to the truth and realized that most of the maternity system in our country is based on lies. I became a doula and then a midwife, and now I help moms like you have a God-led, God-filled birth from an informed position, so that you do not have to be led by fear, but rather by faith in God and knowledge of the truth. Inside this course, you will be engulfed in Scripture while learning about God's ways of nutrition, prenatal care, birth, postpartum care, breastfeeding, what dad needs to know, and so much more. In addition to the course content itself, which is available in both video and audio formats, you'll get workbooks for each module so you can take notes on what you want to remember, Christian relaxation audio tracks to use during pregnancy and labor, printable affirmation cards, and the best part, you'll get access to a live question and answer session with me each month to ask your questions. To sign up or learn more, head over to go.yourbirthgodsway.com/course. That's go.yourbirthgodsway.com/course. Now, this is a serious course, and it's only for serious mamas who truly want to have their birth God's way. So if that's you, head over to go.yourbirthgodsway.com/course today, and I'll see you in the course. Second thing that can happen to you when you're in this system is that you'll be treated with a cookie cutter protocol-based care. And so what do I mean by that? Well, let me tell you a little bit about my time when I had admitting privileges in a hospital. So when you are a midwife or a physician who is credentialed at a hospital, you are able to admit patients to various floors for various reasons, okay? So mainly I was admitting patients to the labor and delivery floor when I was working for a practice as a midwife. That was one of the things that I could do, okay? So for people that were wanting to have their baby in the hospital or for people who had gone to the birth center and then for some reason needed to transfer, I had the ability to admit them to the hospital. But I could not just sit down and write my own orders out longhand like providers used to. Orders now are a checkoff system, either in a computer, usually in a computer now, sometimes on paper and then scanned into a computer. But if I were to write my own orders at the end of that paper or change some of the orders, make little alterations for things like maybe make vital signs left less often or say that the mom could get off of the monitor for some period of time, those orders, first of all, made the nurses very unhappy because it wasn't according to what they were used to and they had to, you know, maybe go outside of their routines to honor those orders. But beyond that, they had to be manually entered. So that was an extra step of work. And it just made them uncomfortable because if they're used to checking vitals every so often, you know, maybe every 2 hours, 4 hours, whatever, and I made them less, they didn't like that. Or if I said that this mom can get off of the monitor and walk up and down the hall, but they aren't on a monitor while they're walking up and down the hall, that made them so nervous. Like, oh, what if something happens? What if? So this, the default way of caring for a mom in a hospital setting is according to a protocol. It will have the diet that you're allowed to have already written out. It will have how often your vital signs are to be done. It'll already have all of the monitoring protocols written in. It's going to have all of those things in there. It's going to have all your labs that you're going to be drawn already written in. There is no individualization. That's a hard word. Individualization of care. It's all based on a protocol that was written by doctors and insurance companies. Because that brings me to another point of something that happens in hospitals that it's just part of the machine. And that is you're treated like a number because you are one. Your labor is put on a clock that is based on something called a Friedman curve, which is based on bad science, but it basically says that you're supposed to be dilating a certain amount. Your cervix is supposed to be dilating a certain amount each hour. And if it's not, then they'll say that you have, quote, fallen off the curve. And then all of the extra interventions are going to start and the pressure is going to be put on you that you're not changing fast enough and this baby's just not going to come out. In addition to that part of being a number, your in-office visits are short and ineffective because insurance reimbursement is so low that doctors have to see a very high number of patients per hour just to get back the revenue they need to maintain their office, to pay their staff, to keep the lights on, to pay for all the supplies, and to pay themselves. So there's only so many hours in the day for them to fit you in to get the reimbursement that they need to be able to make those things happen. So inevitably, you're only going to get to see your doctor for a couple of minutes. Lower skilled staff members are the ones who do most of the work. They do the vitals, they do the measurements, they do the labs, they do all those things. It's all done by others. And then you get like 2 minutes with your doctor or your midwife or your medwife to go over whatever was found in those tests and probably try to talk you into anything that you said that you didn't want from their protocols. You see how this works? You become just one more number to get you through so that they can get the paycheck. And by the way, the fact that you are called a patient in the hospital and in the doctor's office implies already in that word that there's something wrong with you. So just keep that in mind. You are not ever truly treated like you are normal, despite the fact that pregnancy is normal. So another thing that happens when you go to seek your care for a normal process with someone who is trained to fix what is wrong with you is that you will be screened for everything. Because see, doctors believe in screening. They look at this like, well, you don't know who has what. You don't know, you know, each illness has some statistical likelihood that it'll happen in a given population, right? But we don't know which ones are going to have this and which ones are going to have that. So since you don't know that, the way that you find out who has those things is to screen everybody to figure out who is high risk and needs the interventions. But what if you're not one of those people? What if you're not one of those people, but you end up getting a positive result that's actually a false positive, but you don't know that? Or maybe you end up finding that will end up ultimately meaning nothing, but now you've been labeled high risk. Your options are now limited. If you're wanting maybe a birth center birth or a home birth, now you have some label on you that, quote, risks you out of having that option. All because you were screened for something that you may or may not even actually have, but now that label is going to be on you no matter what. No matter what. We're going to talk a lot about that next episode. So if you feel like that applies to you or you want to learn more, be sure you turn on your notifications because that's going to be our whole topic for next week's episode. The next thing that happens when you are seen by a physician for a normal pregnancy is you are treated like you are an accident waiting to happen based on not what happened to you, but what's happened to others before you. And this is what I said I was going to talk a little bit more about earlier. Because see, if you work in a hospital, you're used to seeing bad things happen. That's part of why I felt the medical model was correct for so long. Because that's all I'd ever seen was the medical way of doing things. All I'd ever seen was all the emergencies that seemed to happen all the time. What I didn't see was that those emergencies were often a result of the cascade of interventions. I just didn't connect the dots, and neither do they. Because when you're inside of it, it's very hard to see. You have to get outside of it and look in to really understand what's going on. And that's what I had to do. I had to get out of it and learn about it from the outside looking in. And then it all connected. It all made sense at that point. But it never made sense while I was inside of it. Because I was a part of it. It's what I believed. And it's what they believe. I don't want you to think that they're out to get you. They're not. It's really, truly what they believe is right. They really, truly believe that they are doing the right thing by you. But what they don't know is that they are creating problems for you that never would have existed if you had just been treated as a truly normal person. They actually believe that that birth is a dangerous process because they've seen so much danger come out of it. They just don't realize that their way of doing things is completely contrary to the way that birth is designed to work. Another thing you may not realize that you may deal with when you see a physician for your care when you have a normal pregnancy is that you actually won't see your doctor during your labor except for during rounds, which is when they come around once a day, and then shortly before you actually give birth. You know, remember that schedule I referred to a few minutes ago about how many patients that a doctor needs to see in order to keep his office or her office up and running? That schedule is usually maintained by a doctor even on the days that doctor's on call, which means they're very often at the office seeing patients until the moment that they get the phone call that they need to go to the hospital, and then they kind of make a run to the hospital to try to get there before your baby comes. They still keep that schedule because they have to, because they've got to be able to bill for those patients. If they don't see them, then they have to reschedule them and they lost the revenue for that period of time. So the doctor will be in the office or the midwife will be in the office seeing patients all the way up until you're close to birth. The nurses at the hospital are the ones actually doing the work with you. They will be the ones with you when you start pushing. They will be the ones with you through every procedure that's going on. There's a few that the doctor has to be there for. We won't go into that today. But there's a few that, or the midwife, the doctor or the midwife have to be there for certain procedures, but many of them, the nurses are the ones conducting them. They're basically actually acting as midwives, but they don't have the training to do it. The doctors might come in maybe to break your water in the morning to try to get things going. They may come in to write orders if they have to, if they don't have remote access. But other than that, they are not there for your labor process until the very end. So they're not even the ones directly managing it. They're managing it remotely. Here's something else you don't realize about the way that works. The pressure that's on your nurse that's taking care of you if you have a baby in a hospital. The nurse has to try to predict when is the right time to call the doctor. If they call the doctor too early and he has to kill a lot of time there, she's in trouble. If she calls too late and the baby comes before the doctor gets there, she's in trouble. If she misses something on the strip, she's in trouble. And when I say the strip, I mean the electronic fetal monitoring. If something happens on that strip and she doesn't bring it to the provider's attention and they think they should have known about it, she's in trouble. She's expected to act in the role of a provider without the training of a provider. The pressure is on her. But then the doctor comes riding in, or the midwife comes riding in, catches the baby, sews you back up if needed, and then rides back out. And that's it. That's really all you see them. The nurse is basically expected to do everything, get none of the pay, by the way, while the doctor keeps his office running and then runs in to catch your baby and runs back out. That is what it looks like in the hospital model. Now, there are a few exceptions to this. In some places, doctors or midwives who are on call don't also have office hours on that same day, which is really a better setup, but that's not always the way it is. Where I worked, it was not like that at all. We were in the office when we were on call, and we did have to make that crazy run to the hospital to try to get there in time to catch the babies. It's hard. And that's what your doctor is going to be doing in most places. If you're giving birth in a hospital, you're not going to see them. So the person that you've entrusted your care to, you've tried to get to know, even though you only got to see him a couple minutes, you're not going to see him hardly at all. It's a broken system, top to bottom. Now, having all these routine treatments available, like the monitoring and the IVs and the fluids and all these things, this is the model. This is what is done routinely. If that's not what you want, realize that you're going to be at odds. You are going to meet resistance the whole way. So get ready for it and either choose to be in it and have to fight your way through, or choose a better model. Okay? Keep this in mind as we're going through all these things. You have choices. Now, those choices may not be easy. You may have to travel for them. You may have to really search them out, but there are choices. You've just got to put in that legwork to get the better model. Demand the better model. Because the more of us that demand the better model, the more that model is going to become available. Last one for what can happen to you when you seek the care of a physician for a normal process like birth. You're almost inevitably going to have surgery recommended. Because remember me telling you that obstetricians are surgeons? Surgeons like to cut. They like to cut. That means they like to do surgery. A lot of doctors truly believe that a C-section is as safe or maybe even safer than vaginal birth. They actually truly believe that. They will recommend the C-section for just about anything. If labor's taking too long, if the baby's not coming down, if there are blips on the strip that show that the baby might not be tolerating labor well, even though they're not really all that bad. There are some that are bad and need intervention, but then there's some that aren't. But even the little ones, they might say, well, maybe baby's not tolerating it that well. Maybe we should just go ahead and get him out and you'll get to meet your baby. It'll be great and you'll be done. And when you're exhausted, by the way, those things work. Do not underestimate the power of suggestion when you are tired and exhausted and worried about your baby. And pure exhaustion can be a reason that they will recommend that you have a C-section. They'll just say you can get it over with and be done, and you can meet your baby. They like to do C-sections because that's what they're trained to do. They would rather do that because it is controlled. It is quick, it is done and they can get back to whatever it is that they were doing before, whether it be office or just getting home for dinner. There are statistical analyses of when the most C-sections happen in our country. And if this was in a classroom setting, I would ask you to tell me when you think the C-section spiked the most. But since we're not in a classroom setting, I'll just tell you. They are Monday through Friday. They're very rarely on Saturday and Sunday, unless the ones on Saturday and Sunday are usually actually needed. So they're Monday through Friday, and there's a spike at 5 o'clock, and there's a spike around 9 or 10 o'clock. Because what happens at 5 o'clock? Office day's done, want to get home for supper. What happens at 9 or 10 o'clock? It's bedtime. Nobody wants to be up all night. So you tell me that those spikes are actually needed. They're not. And everybody knows it. But they deny it and they just act like it's not there. I could go on and on and on. There are exceptions, y'all. I know there are exceptions. I hear some of you saying, but, I get that. There are exceptions, but exceptions are just that. They are exceptions. They are not the rule. And after many years of being in this system, I'm telling you that the things that I have told you are the day-to-day realities of what happens when you choose to see a physician for the normal process of pregnancy and birth. Next episode, like I said, we're going to look into the impact of the incidental and routine testing outcomes and how they can destroy the normalcy of your pregnancy and steal the joy out of your pregnancy in the blink of an eye. Just something that you went through routinely, maybe didn't even know they were doing, maybe didn't even think about. You're just like, yeah, no big deal. We'll just do that. And then just like that, your choices are gone. We're going to talk about some of those things and the things to look out for, because sometimes submitting to a routine test can land you in that high risk category so quick that you don't know what happened and suddenly everything about your birth plan that you wanted is gone and there's nothing you can do about it, at least not within the bounds of that system. There are things you can do about it, as we've talked about. You can get out of that system. But unfortunately, a lot of times once you've got a label, a home birth midwife, either by law, won't be allowed to take care of you or won't be comfortable because they feel like they're taking an unnecessary risk. So these are the things you've got to keep in mind before you submit to incidental routine tests that are just done. That's just what we do, because your joy can be stolen out of your pregnancy in the blink of an eye. Once you have that label, once you have been labeled whatever the thing is, it won't be removed. So keep these things in mind and make good choices. If you know that you don't want all the testing, if you know that you don't want all the interventions, why would you ever set foot in that system? I have moms all the time say things like, well, that's who I've gone to my whole life. I've gone for my pap smears. I've gone for this or that. I'll just go to them. It'll be fine. Or I'm going to go to who my insurance covers. It'll be fine. And yet those same moms are the ones that have the birth plans and say that they don't want any of the things that those people are inevitably going to do. So if you know that's not what you want, why would you subject yourself to it? It doesn't make sense. The actions don't meet up with what you're saying. If you truly want a natural birth, you need to find a provider who truly believes in and supports natural birth, not someone who believes in interventions and testing and monitoring and all of these things routinely. Because when you seek out a person, or when you go see a person who believes in doing those things routinely, that's what you're going to get. Okay, it just makes sense. So take the time to put in the work on the front end to get a provider who believes in the normalcy of your pregnancy, and that one choice can completely change the course of your pregnancy and can give you the birth that you know you deserve, that God designed you to have in a normal, beautiful environment. And if there's any way that I can help you do that, please let me know. As I tell you every week, I have a course that the whole thing is designed to help you make sure that you stay low risk, help you make sure that you are fully prepared to have the birth that you're dreaming of and that God designed you to have. And so to learn more about that, head down to the show notes hit the link. I think it's the very first one. Click that link and you'll learn all about it. If you have any more questions on top of that, just shoot me an email. I'll be glad to help you in any way that I can. You guys have a great rest of your day, and I will see you right back here next week. Real quick, if today's episode blessed you in any way, would you head over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a quick 5-star written review? It'll take you less than a minute, but it's the best thank you you can give me. And it will help my show to reach more mamas just like you so we can all find God's best for our families. I'll see you right back here in a few days.